Is Donald Trump's victory a white lash or a white supremacist backlash? How is his victory different from every other white male who has won the White House in U.S. history? Donald Trump actually did perform somewhat better among minority voters than Mitt Romney did 4 years ago. What does that mean? And Hillary Clinton simply did not turn out the voters who turned out for Barack Obama in 2012. What does that mean? Now minority voters across America have to reconcile this white male president, Donald Trump, with the rhetoric of the campaign. Incidents of racial hatred have proliferated since the election. What do we do now if we want to preserve whatever unity we thought we had in the United States during the 8 years of Barack Obama? Dr. Brittany Cooper, assistant professor of women's and gender studies and Africana studies at Rutgers University, says there's a lot of work to do.
This is entirely a victory for white supremacists. I think that we have to be very careful about not blaming the black electorate for the Trump victory. I think that's the easy story. The reality is that many black voters did turn out. Black voter turnout actually was fairly high in this election. It didn't meet the levels that it met with the Obama campaigns, but of course it would not. He had symbolic import for African Americans in a way that Hillary Clinton just simply would not ever have. But by and large, 94% of black women voters voted for Hillary Clinton. Over 80% of black male voters voted for Hillary Clinton. I want to be clear that I don't blame this result on black voters. This is very much about white voters marshaling their power to get their candidate into office.
I mean, on the one hand, you're talking about individuals who came out to rallies and who behaved in ways that express exactly what you're talking about, a kind of racial hatred and a sense that there needs to be a retaliation over the presidency of Barack Obama. But would you characterize that as a minority or a majority of Americans at this point in time, given that the numbers of people who actually voted constitute a minority of the eligible voters in the entire nation?
So here's the thing. If you're black in America in this moment, and, you know, and I'm thinking about the levels of interactions that I've had with black people as I've been, you know, traveling the country in the last week or so, what we see is a Donald Trump presidency. And that's a victory for white supremacy. And so this says to us that there is, look, we have over 50 million people who voted for Donald Trump. That's a significant portion of the American electorate, even if it's not a majority of all who could have voted. The fact that in 2016, 50 million Americans would overlook the sort of bald-faced race baiting that this man engaged in, the kind of deep sexism and misogyny, the fact that that wasn't a deal breaker for over 50 million Americans, the fact that they could leave it aside because of some other value that they said mattered, like him being a businessman, suggests that we have real work to do in this country and suggests that black people, Latinos, Muslims, actually really do have the right to fear Americans, other American citizens, white American citizens, because this result is simply unacceptable.
To move forward, Barack Obama was forced during the campaign in 2008 to repudiate the language of Jeremiah Wright, a minister that was the leader of a church congregation that he attended, for statements that he made. Would you say that Donald Trump has to explicitly repudiate language that he used during the campaign and repudiate the behavior of his followers more than he did on 60 Minutes by simply saying stop it for us to move forward and to have a more productive and healthy administration, whatever the political disagreements might be?
I think there are two things to say here. One, Donald Trump is not going to repudiate that language, and white privilege allows him to do so. He won the election by using language that most of us would agree is morally despicable and deplorable. So he has no incentive at this point to repudiate the language, and he's protected by all three branches of government, so there'll be no consequences if he doesn't. I also think that it's really important for us in this moment, as people who are in the media, to say that there was really a false equivalence here between the kind of truth-telling that Jeremiah Wright was doing that got exposed in 2008 and the kind of lying that is happening from the Trump campaign. So Jeremiah Wright was talking about what happens to countries when they mistreat their most vulnerable but claim that they're doing it in the name of God. And he says that sets up the conditions so that if you have a theological position, God is not pleased with you. Whereas what the Trump campaign and many Trump supporters on the religious right are doing is suggesting that for them, God is a white supremacist who actually agrees with and morally mandates them to discriminate against Muslims, to treat Black people as though they are inhuman, and to wall Latino folks out of this country. And so we really need to begin to tell the truth about this and to stop saying that this is merely about racially incendiary language on both sides. It is not. One person is trying to call us to a sort of moral consciousness so that we can be more united. The other is trying to use moral language in ways that are incendiary and divisive.
Dr. Brittany Cooper is Assistant Professor of Women's and Gender Studies and Africana Studies at Rutgers University. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.